Good morning. Today is Monday, the 22nd of September. My name is John Endres, and this is the latest risk alert from the Center for Risk Analysis. This is a service for CRA subscribers brought to you every Monday morning at 7 a.m. by the CRA, helping you make better decisions. In this week's risk alert, we begin with a test case for expropriation without compensation that is heading to the courts. We continue with a look at President Ramaphosa's gift to the DA at a meeting with ANC councillors. We discuss Joburg Mayor Dada Morero's problems with the city's water supply before turning to Helen Zille's candidacy for Mayor of Johannesburg. We then look at the start of the Madlanga Commission of Inquiry that is investigating crime and corruption in the criminal justice system before discussing another US-SA Relations Review Act introduced in the US Congress. But we begin with expropriation without compensation, and South Africa has another concrete test of EWC moving toward court. The city of Ekurhuleni's 2019 seizure of portion 406 of the farm Driefontein, which is about 34 hectares and extent for a housing scheme with an offer of R0 compensation. The municipality valued the property at roughly 26.5 million rand in 2017, while the owner valued the land at 30 million rand or more. The dispute has dragged on for 6 years now, and mediation is reportedly set for 31 October, with an 18-day trial penciled in for February 2026. The city of Ekurhuleni is pursuing this expropriation under the old Expropriation Act of 1975, in part because the new Expropriation Act of 2024, which allows the government to take property for nil compensation on an open-ended list of cases, has not yet legally been brought into force. The facts of the case are somewhat peculiar. The current owner bought the land, part of which had been a mine dump, for R1 million in 2005. The land is zoned as agricultural but has been uninvested and unproductive for decades, while Ekurhuleni claims that not much is possible even if private investments were made into the land. Furthermore, the property is encumbered with roughly 3.4 million rand in unpaid debts to the municipality. A crucial feature of this case is that the expropriated owner applied to rezone the land for residential development in 2018, which was opposed by nearby residents, according to Ekurhuleni. This has the double effect of keeping the land's value down and creating the artificial scarcity of residential land in the area. Ekurhuleni then claimed that both of these factors justify nil compensation in legal documents. While the facts have not been independently verified, it appears that Ekurhuleni is conducting a form of lawfare that harms both the owner and those who would benefit from a housing development on the land in question, which is near to thoroughfares to business centres. The case amplifies downstream risk channels for South African businesses and investors if, contrary to expectations, it is not squashed by the courts. A win for Ekurhuleni would lead to collateral erosion over and above what has already been priced in since the new Expropriation Act was passed. External pressure lends additional weight to the case. The US has already linked EWC to broader bilateral tensions via President Trump's February executive order, which flagged South Africa's expropriation law and triggered aid cuts. Businesses exposed to expropriation risk should engage early with organized business and civil society groups tracking the act and this case. Organizations such as IRR Legal and Sakalicha are challenging the new Expropriation Act on the grounds of constitutionality. Next, we turn to politics, and as part of the long run-up to local government elections, the ANC gathered over 4,800 of its 4,929 municipal councillors at a roll call meeting in Johannesburg. Among many exhortations to do better, such as, "It's either service delivery or death," Mr. Ramaphosa told the delegates that they should seek inspiration from municipalities run by the Democratic Alliance. He said, quote, "We need to ask ourselves, what is it that they are doing that is better than what we are doing? There is nothing wrong with us saying we want to go and see what Cape Town is doing. We want to go and see what Stellenbosch is doing. How do they craft everything? We need to be moving up the ladder of being good at what we do. We cannot stay forever at the bottom." End quote. For good measure, the party's national chairperson, Gwede Mantashe, said, quote, "I know that we have a lot of singing councillors, but we have no councils. We all sing well, but capacity? Dololo. End quote. Mr. Ramaphosa's comments have provided the DA with ammunition it can use in political campaigning and likely contributed to the accelerating decline of the ANC. The Sunday Times reports an ANC minister as saying, quote, if President Ramaphosa thinks the DA is outperforming the ANC, maybe he should step down. It's a political blunder we may not be able to survive. End quote. Staying with local government matters, the current executive mayor of Johannesburg, Dada Morero of the ANC, faced a hostile parliamentary portfolio committee last week, which said it was perturbed by the lackadaisical attitude of Mr. Morero towards resolving the city's water problems. Johannesburg Water, an entity owned by the city, reportedly has an infrastructure upgrade and renewable backlog of over 26 billion rand. Johannesburg residents are encountering frequent water interruptions and almost 45% of the water supplied by Johannesburg Water is not paid for. Residents of the Johannesburg suburbs of Coronationville and Westbury have been suffering water shortages for several years. 2 weeks ago, their frustration boiled over, and they barricaded streets with burning tires, rocks, and rubbish. Mr. Morero visited the community shortly thereafter and promised to restore supply within 7 days. However, a week later, water had not been restored in many areas, and the mayor said it would take 3 more weeks to restore supply. A resident said, quote, the mayor's promises are as empty as our taps, end quote. For all the president's exhortations and the efforts of ANC councillors across the country, services are unlikely to improve significantly before the local government elections. With all this going on in the background, on Saturday the DA announced that Helen Zille would be its mayoral candidate for Johannesburg in the upcoming local government elections. Given widespread dissatisfaction with the existing city administration, Ms. Zille's candidacy could galvanize a large-scale shift in voting patterns. Should she win, however, she faces a mammoth undertaking. Johannesburg is plagued by daily service delivery outages, entrenched corruption in the public service, and negative sentiment. The upside of a Johannesburg revival is profound, however, not only for the city and Gauteng, but for the whole country. As of 2023, over a third of all the assessed taxpayers in South Africa, or 35.5%, were registered in Gauteng. Of those, 36.2% lived in Johannesburg. Johannesburg generates approximately 16% of South Africa's gross domestic product, so getting the city working again would produce wide-scale economic benefits for the country. We now move on to the Madlanga Commission, or to give it its full name, the Madlanga Commission of Inquiry into Criminality, Political Interference and Corruption in the Criminal Justice System, and that commission started its work last week. It represents a potential reckoning for the country's law enforcement agencies. The commission chair, Justice Mbuyiseli Madlanga, laid out the stakes clearly, quote, if the allegations are proved to be true, that spells doom for South Africa's criminal justice system. A healthy justice system is key to the rule of law and, in turn, to a functioning constitutional democracy, end quote. In recent CRA engagements, international clients and audiences have spoken of their desire to invest in South Africa, but have added that the high rate of crime, along with the proliferation of various mafias, has deterred them. The Madlanga Commission provides the ANC and South Africa with a further opportunity to deal with the consequences of cadre deployment and the politicization of policing and intelligence, but whether the political will to do so exists remains unclear. Revelations emerging from the Commission have the potential to fuel internal conflict and to damage further the standing of the ANC at a time when it is politically vulnerable. For our last story, we turn to the United States. In April, Congressman Ronnie Jackson introduced a draft law calling for the relationship between South Africa and the United States to be reviewed in the House of Representatives. That bill was passed by the House Foreign Affairs Committee in August, and it has now been matched by a bill introduced last week in the Senate by Senator John Kennedy. The introduction of a Senate version matters because it shows momentum and ensures the issue will not stall in one chamber. Mr. Jackson's bill was the opening gambit, And Mr. Kennedy's text gives the Senate a stronger hand and raises the chances that Congress will instruct the White House to act. The real target is the ANC leadership, and the risk of personal sanctions against senior party figures is now explicit. Both bills focus directly on the South African government, requiring the US president to assess whether Pretoria undermines US national security and to identify senior ANC and government figures for targeted sanctions. For markets and investors, the message is that Washington's stance towards South Africa's ruling party is hardening. The threat of losing AGOA may be outdated in the Trump tariff environment, but the bills illustrate a deeper intent to penalize Pretoria's alignment with Moscow, Beijing, and Tehran. For South Africa's businesses, the signals that even greater turbulence may lie ahead in their commercial relationship with the US. That's it from us for this week. We hope you'll have a good week ahead and look forward to speaking to you again next Monday morning.